Welcome to the Jeff and Jamie feed. We're so glad to have you here with us today. We have a very special guest on who is going to be joining us, Jen Heidinger Kendrick, and we'll get more into that. But can we just talk about why she is special to us, and she's more special to us than she even realizes?
Oh, for sure. I mean, what an experience we had visiting her years and years ago at Staple House.
So Jeff and I had this thing back in 2016, 2017, we would always get the magazine Bon Appetit, and every year they would come out with the top 10 best new restaurants in the country. And if there was a restaurant on that list that we could drive to, we made sure we went. So it was 2016, maybe it was 2017 by the time we got there. But we drove down to Atlanta, stayed with some family down there, and we went to a little restaurant. Do you remember?
I remember so well because we were still, you know, maybe Crepe Cellar had gone from 11 tables to expanding and we had growlers, but we were still in the infancy of being in the restaurant business. And I don't even know if we felt like we belonged yet, but
no,
we had big dreams. And the part I remember, I was just blown away by what an amazing job that they did there. And you're in the middle of their expo.
And we were at this restaurant called Staple House. I don't know if we went into that, but that was one of the top 10 best new restaurants that year in Bon Appetit. And
you had planned the whole thing. I flew in to Atlanta and you picked me up at the airport and drove me.
I don't
to
even
Staple
remember
House.
That.
Yes. Okay. Amazing, right? And I remember all this. And we, you know, show up and you're in the middle of their expo. You're in the middle of their service and you just feel like you're a part of their whole restaurant. It was so cool.
It was an incredible feeling. And it was also, I remember we were tucked at a banquette, and I think I was against the wall because I could see out, or at least I had the chance to see out, just how the kitchen would come to life. And it was very much a part of the dining room. And we loved that. We loved the energy, how it went from the back of the house to the front of the house, and just the way it made you feel. And I think going to restaurants like that, that are above and beyond, that, you know, food wise, hospitality wise, the feeling that it gives you, going somewhere like that just was such an inspiration to us over the years to continue to get better.
And while I felt like such a poser still in the in the restaurant business, the first time I met Jen, I was walking to the bathroom, and obviously Crepe Cellar was a super tight spot. There's no places to walk around. So you're very observant whenever you're working a shift at Crepe Cellar of where are your coworkers? Where are people? Who am I waiting for to run food? And so in this same environment, I'm walking to the bathroom and I'm like, notice that a server needs to get by and somebody else needs to get by. And Jen's watching me go to the bathroom, and right
not
before
watching you go to the bathroom,
no, she's watching me walk,
head to
walk
the bathroom. She's
the bathroom.
Watching you walk
and,
toward the bathroom.
And
okay.
As I'm getting to the last hallway, she just kind of looks over at me. She goes, "You work in restaurants, don't you?"
and suddenly you weren't a poser.
And I was like, "Well, I'm still a poser, but I think it's so funny that you just notice those cues of that somebody's aware and notices what's going on and acquiescing to the right people and,
that's
and
right.
behind and yep. all the things you need to do.
So Jen was one of the founders of Staple House, this wonderful restaurant that we had visited back in 2016, 2017. And a lot has happened on her path since then. And today we're going to be exploring that. But to really dive into that, I just want to, you know, make sure people understand here in the restaurant business, you know, we are so heavily reliant on our people, on our team. And that's front of house and back of house. And the importance of them being healthy and happy and having a healthful life at home, or, you know, just a decent living situation is necessary for them to be able to show up to work and do a great job. These are long shifts. They're on their feet and having to be at their best. And we rely a lot on our team, on our personnel. And that's one of the most challenging pieces of this business.
For sure. And things are definitely getting better for hospitality workers. The wages, you know, are finally going up. There are careers in this hospitality business, as we've talked about. And, you know, like, you know, places like ours where we can provide healthcare and those kind of things for our workers. But there's so much more that our people need on a day-to-day basis or in emergency situations.
Absolutely. And so we've relied a lot on, you know, third-party partnerships and help. And so today we're going to bring on Jen Heidinger Kendrick, who is with an organization called Giving Kitchen. And Giving Kitchen is a nonprofit that helps food service workers in crisis. So we're going to be diving into her business and what she helps make happen for those of us here who are in the restaurant business and are trying to keep our staffs healthy, happy, and able to work. So we'll have Jen come on here in just a minute.
Let's bring her on.
Welcome, Jen. We are so glad to have you here with us today.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you both so much.
Oh, we're
excited
our pleasure
to dive in.
For sure.
And what you're all going to miss out on is that we are actually having a very special fundraiser dinner this evening. So you will miss that, but we get to enjoy all that beautiful food tonight together.
I was just talking about how excited I am about all of the courses I get to eat from the 10 best chefs in Charlotte.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't have to test anything out prior because you just trust everyone.
Yeah, I haven't had any tastings. I haven't had anything. I just get to show up
and
eat. Yeah, it's awesome.
The culinary expertise in the city is kind of mind-blowing. So we are grateful and very excited about enjoying dinner tonight.
It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have about 92 people in the dining room at Supperland. And it's a fundraiser for Giving Kitchen. And this is a... this is a nonprofit that is incredibly useful to us as restaurant owners and managers. And we're just grateful to have you here. And I would love for you to give us a little bit of an introduction about Giving Kitchen and what you all do and what your aims are and how you help the restaurant community.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to. I mean, first and foremost, Giving Kitchen is for everyone in food service. So no matter where you are listening to this podcast, if you work in food service, you've got a place to turn in times of crisis. You've got a lending hand and somebody to support you no matter what. And I love the story that Jeff told about the kind of the IQs that we made when we first met. But there is something really special about this industry for that exact moment and that exact reason. The body cues and kind of the sensation and that emotion that can come out when you're in this business is one of the reasons why, you know, even after my late husband's death, I didn't scurry away from it. I honed in and dove in even deeper to see Giving Kitchen come to fruition the way it has. So I remember that moment. I think you were probably doing the thing where you turned your back to everybody and like did like a hand gesture like this way. And
yeah,
it's probably what happened.
It's pretty tight. It's pretty tight in there. Back
it's
in
very
the day.
Snug.
Yeah.
Especially with the bar stools when they used to be at the counter. Yeah. So Giving Kitchen, we are almost 13 years old. Giving Kitchen started in response to what community did to support my late chef husband, Ryan Heidinger, and I during our time of crisis and in his time of crisis. We're both originally from Indianapolis, Indiana, and then moved to Atlanta in 2004. He worked with Ann Cotrano, JBF, you know, James Beard Award semifinalist and accolades galore before finding a more long-term home at a sandwich shop at that time in Smyrna, Georgia, called Muss & Turner's. And during his kind of 4 years into that, we actually started a supper club out of our home called Prelude.
That's
to
right.
Staple House.
Yeah.
Which really led to the forming of Staple House Restaurant. And it was something for us that, again, it's just something about this industry that just completely pulls you in. And whether you still work in food service or you don't, it's just it never leaves you. But we started a supper club as a way to get to know the people in our city and the people in our city in Atlanta to get to understand the way that Ryan cooked and his kind of style of food.
So did you have people actually come to your house or how did you actually serve them?
We did. So
okay.
I will never forget, the very first email that I sent out was to 160 plus people. We didn't have a ton of contacts in our email distribution list, but I sent it out And we decided to host dinners on Sunday evenings. It was the only night that Ryan and I would have together, full-time jobs, et cetera, that we would have together.
So you're taking the only free time that you guys have.
And cooking.
Yes.
And cooking and bringing people into our home. Exactly. Because for us, it was an opportunity to get to learn about the city about us, and ultimately to open up a dream restaurant of our own one day. Oh. And so we did that for 4 years. It was a down economy. Lots of things happened. We built a business plan,
was,
as you guys
know.
It was
rough back then.
Yep. Yeah. And 14 business plans later and 4 years later, everything starts to come to fruition. Things are looking up. We find a space and a bank willing to, you know, back us. I send Ryan to New York City for a half a day to enjoy food and beverage. I couldn't even afford a hotel for him that night. It was an anniversary gift, but I was like, go have fun, come back later in the night and just tell me about your experience. And it was the next morning that he developed kind of flu-like symptoms that persisted for about a week and a half, which then ended up leading to sleepless nights and missed days of work, which was incredibly abnormal for him. Mm. Otherwise, he'd never been sick and just never missed a day of work. That led to what we decided on was an ultrasound, which led to abnormalities that we found in his liver. And then that led to an MRI a few days later. And it was December 21st of 2012. That Ryan was diagnosed with a terminal cancer diagnosis, given 6 months to live.
Yeah, so young and so much promise and beauty in what you guys had started. And you decided to continue that path forward.
Yeah.
You carried the torch forward. And I know you had support around you too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the reason why this carried forward, is because of the support. It was that pay it forward kind of mentality. It was the flood of people who came to our rescue, literally, and put on a fundraiser for us, because I think the city of Atlanta, the South, humanity, and this industry specifically has something to say. And we can stand up for something really good and powerful. There was an event that was put on, a fundraiser called Team Heidi, Heidi being short for Heidi, his last name, my last name. And the goal of the people who put on this benefit was to raise maybe $15,000-$20,000.
What you raised, is it?
But that was the goal, to, you know, help us pay our mortgage and our utility bills for Ryan's final year. And what ended up happening was remarkable. Nearly 1,000 people showed up, and dozens and dozens of Atlanta's restaurants and bartenders, and a live auction and music. And nearly $300,000 later,
my goodness,
was the spark of what Giving Kitchen is today.
And you went on to operate Staple House for a number of years, and then you transitioned out to create Giving Kitchen, which is really rooted in that spirit that you all, you know, were so blessed with in that time of crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a part of the leadership team that opened up Staple House Restaurant. So my late husband's sister, Kara Heidinger, and her husband, Ryan Smith, lots of Ryans in the origin story. And I was a part of that team, the Bon Appetit nod. Staple House Restaurant did we won Best Restaurant in America in 2016 by Bon Appetit magazine.
Unbelievable.
And it was, and the James Beard nod, that, you know, a few months prior and so on and so forth. It really changed the scope of business. But it also put a stamp on this. It kind of sell the story forward and the power of hope and dignity, because there was a restaurant performing as well as a nonprofit who was serving the people who work in our industry. So, I was a part of the restaurant for the first 5 years. And then in 2019, I made a transition to focus on Giving Kitchen as a full-time staff member myself.
Yeah.
So, of course, I've been on staff now since 2019 in a full-time capacity. And it's been amazing to see it grow.
It's just a incredible story, and what a special restaurant. I mean, you guys got the accolades for it, but it was just a special place that you guys built.
Hearts full and always welcoming. I mean, I think that's kind of at the core of how we all like to operate business, right? Warm and welcoming.
For sure. And I think, you know, many diners don't realize, you know, obviously you guys had a pretty terminal cancer is a long-term, extremely difficult, thing to deal with. And it's so awesome that everybody rallied together. Mm. But there are so many smaller things that happen day to day where, servers are only making you know, they don't make money if they don't show up for their shift. And, they rely on tips and those kind of things. They're not on salary. So it's very hard for them to get paid mm-hmm. if they are not showing up for work. And for any number of reasons, you can miss a week of work.
Absolutely.
A day of, or, you know, whatever, and not be able to make rent, not be able to get your kid to daycare, all those things. So I think you could talk a little bit more about how you guys, help all the workers in our industry.
Yeah, there's so many different things. And I think, you know, you might think, oh, it's just a dire situation. But you guys step in even with injuries or family issues mm-hmm. and things like that.
That's exactly
right.
I'd
love for you to talk more about what you guys do.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say the same thing. It doesn't take a catastrophic cancer diagnosis to kind of be available for someone else mm-hmm. And be for everyone. And I really do, at the core of Giving Kitchen, that is what we do, for exactly what you've said. It is for anything related to an illness or an injury or a housing disaster, think floods or fires or illnesses, that's when Giving Kitchen can step in and offer financial assistance. But also, we offer something we call Stability Network, which mm-hmm. is a connection to local resource referrals. So when we talk about this industry, and it is most common that a $400 unexpected expense will set someone into a downward spiral and face potential eviction mm-hmm. or homelessness. And this is often an industry that doesn't necessarily have a savings, as we probably see all right. of the time. Oftentimes you hear the paycheck to paycheck. I mean, these things are true. And there's also some vitality in this industry, right? I mean, there's so much dignity with being able to do the type of work that this industry does. That's really what makes it so special for us. For Stability Network, I think this is a really magical component of Giving Kitchen, because we get to focus on, as long as you're a food service worker, you can get access to anything. If that's mental health resources or physical health and wellness opportunities or housing security or any type of social service that you can think of. If you're a food service worker and need to find something, you can call on Giving Kitchen and we will direct you somewhere, in your local community.
Right. And I mean, it is incredible. I've scoured your website for ways to help our team in different ways. And we actually keep one of your flyers up in our kitchens.
That's awesome.
Just because a lot of times, certainly we don't, but even just the direct manager doesn't know what people are going through. And, sometimes those things need to stay private and they need to just have the information. Hey, if you are going through something, if you do need help, here's something you can go do. And I think that's one of the big things, is that it that dignity piece you're talking about, they don't have to go to a manager and be like, I can't do this. They can come get help.
That's exactly right. I mean, that confidentiality is really important to us too. I mean, not everybody wants to go to their boss and say something happened.
Yes, right. So what are some of the, I'll say, stats that you feel most proud of that your team has been able to accomplish over the last few years or history?
There's so many. I love the question, because, and I do, accolades are great. They signify a lot. And I think for when you get to, those types of opportunities, you understand what that meant to get there. And those are great. But honestly, some of the things I'm most proud of are something that happened last year, which was during the hurricane relief and response efforts with Helene and Milton.
Wow. Yeah. Our
response rate was pretty phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We did some emergency fundraising and were able to award about $100,000 in Visa gift cards to any food service worker who was affected by the hurricanes. And we did it in 10 business days.
Oh, my goodness.
It was
amazing.
Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
We were able to immediately get those funds into people's hands. And what was really great about that.
And that was like every food service worker in Asheville, right?
Correct, like, yes. So when we think about like stats and numbers, we've got the pandemic from, 2020, we were seeing 20 times the volume of clients coming to us and asking for help. At that point, though, we were only in the state of Georgia. Our nonprofit only served food service workers in the state of Georgia. We are now a national agency. We can serve any food service worker that comes to us. Mind you, there are 15.9 million food service workers in the country.
And you don't have a huge team.
Right, no. We're about 35.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
But then you think about, the hurricane relief and the flood that was coming in. We were seeing four times that than we saw from COVID. So the response rate was great. The opportunity to get cash in hand with a truncated kind of application. We didn't have to go through all of the green, you know, red tape that we typically do for a typical financial assistance application. And that was really amazing overall from last year. And I have one more that I think is really exciting.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yes.
In our over 10 years, 12 years, we had at up until this point actually had been writing paper checks for our clients, which is great. I mean, they were written out to the utility company or the mortgage lender, et cetera. And we would mail the check, you know, after financial assistance was approved, we would mail that check out. And then that client food service worker would turn it over to their mortgage lender. Today, as of this past summer, we've actually switched over to direct ACH payments, which means
so fast
that by the time that we are done helping a client over the phone or via email and they get approved, their funds in their bank account within 24 to 48 hours, saving 26 days worth of potential waiting. Wow. And when you think of being in crisis and needing the financial assistance to help pay your rent or what have you, it's pretty life-changing for our individuals.
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Do you have, I'm sure almost every story you have is probably confidential, but are there any individuals that have allowed you to share their story that we might hear one of those stories here of how you've been able to help?
Sure. I mean, I can paraphrase probably.
And you don't
a few.
Have to say names, of course.
No. What we do when we talk about confidentiality, it is a primary focus. We have to follow HIPAA regulations
for
and whatnot.
Sure.
But there are clients who opt in to share their story or share gratitude or share their statement of need, et cetera. You know, as we were talking about earlier, you can kind of imagine any crisis situation has come across our path. So these are oftentimes women going through reproductive health issues or losing a child, having to bury a child, house and apartment fires, and all the way to food service workers who just haven't been to the doctor in 3 years and can come to us.
We have health care, and you find that with our
But you've done some pop-ups that our team has taken advantage of. You've done some, and I don't know when your next one is. I will need to get that from you. But we've shared that with our team to do pop-ups just to get them there and make sure they get those check-ins.
Yeah. We've actually just rebranded and kind of reconfigured the strategy around pop-up doc is the one you're referring to.
Yes.
We now call it clinic comp. And we have partnered with 5 clinics actually in Georgia. There's, and I think a couple more blossoming outside of Georgia here soon. But what that means is if there's a food service worker and they need access to health care, they can come to Giving Kitchen. And with our partnerships with these clinics, they can get their first medical visit for free, completely taken care of. And then they can have an ongoing relationship with their individual service provider from there. But that's been a big game changer for sure.
I think when, you know, when people see food service workers, it's a very, very physical job. Mm-hmm. So that is like the first thing people see. But I think that one of the great things that you guys are latching onto is that it also, being in the hospitality industry, it is pretty taxing mentally.
Sure.
You're giving so much every day. And I think the mental health piece that you guys are adding on is really, really valuable for our people.
For sure. I think we, you know, this industry is oftentimes you're asked to leave your feelings at the door, quote unquote. You know, I don't think you two as business owners do that. I think we have seen a really wonderful role model in both of you. And I think that mindset is shifting massively across the industry as well. In order to have a great business, you have to have a healthy family inside. Mm-hmm. And then that means family and inside your walls, of course, of employees. If they don't want to come back to work or want to show up, I mean, then why are they there? You know, being able to be a resource and say, I've got your back, I have something that can help you, just means you care about somebody. And at the end of the day, I think that's what anybody wants, is to feel cared for, feel seen.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We have been able to, I don't know if you have done it, Jeff, but done the QPR training that they have online. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that too. So this is basically a suicide prevention training course that these guys at Giving Kitchen offer for free for food service workers. And that's something that I have taken the course, and then we've encouraged a number of managers on our team to take it as well. And, you know, it, we never know if it's going to be helpful, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of CPR, mm-hmm. wherein I'm trained for CPR, was trained back in college, never thought I would use it or anything like that. Honestly, forgot how to do it. But then one day I find myself in a bagel shop and the lady is choking near me and I have to grab this woman and give her the Heimlich and help her. And I didn't know I knew what to do. But I think if you can set people up to know what to do, to say, you know, I'm not here, if I'm talking with a teammate who is struggling, and not necessarily a teammate, a friend who's struggling so badly with mental health and is having those conversations around potential suicide or things like that, that I know how to refer them instead of, you know, I don't need to carry the burden. I don't need to like solve the problem for them. But that training really is helping you learn how to help them find the next step, get them to the next day so that they can find the resources to help them.
That's exactly right. I mean, QPR translates to question, persuade, refer, and it is oftentimes called the CPR of suicide prevention training.
I didn't even know that.
So the analogy was dead on and perfect, actually. And it is, it's a 99% plus effective rate to be able to just recognize certain words, phrases, body language, et cetera, in order to get somebody where they need to go.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Have you taken it, Jeff?
I'll jump on it though. It sounds like a great thing.
It's a good thing. We have 300 people on our team now. And
is it just a link on your site?
You can go to givingkitchen.org and type in the search bar QPR. Or of course, reach out, ask for help, and we can direct you even more.
I'll rock that out today.
Yeah. I love that. It's an hour long training.
Yep.
I think you can do it. So on the business side, how do you guys get your funding for Giving Kitchen? Because I know that's not an easy task.
It is not. And it's not for most nonprofits in America right now. We get our funding through multiple sources. You know, at the beginning of Giving Kitchen 12 and a half years ago, it was a lot of partnerships with restaurants. Today, it's a little bit more open through corporate funding, mm-hmm. Of course, through family foundations and trusts and grants and events, so like we're doing tonight here at Supperland, we call them third party events. So there's going to be signature events that are hosted by Giving Kitchen or other party events that are hosted by our friends and community. But there's lots of different avenues and ways to give in order to support food service workers in crisis.
So what should other? I think we have your posters up, and we, you know, do Slack messages to our people, letting them know about your services and what you have to offer. What other recommendations do you have for other restaurant owners to get the word out to their staff, and what should hospitality people be looking for?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different ways to learn about Giving Kitchen. Word of mouth for us has been our tried and true performer. You know, it's when you're reaching out and asking for help, there's a lot of pride that often resides with doing that. Reaching out and asking for help takes a lot of courage. I think it's a really big deal to let somebody know that you need help. And so when somebody has received help, them telling their colleague or coworker or teammate inside the walls has been a really proven, very big successful moment for us. We offer, as Giving Kitchen, as a nonprofit, a national dine out program that we call Dining with Gratitude. And that's something that we offer for any food service establishment across the country as an awareness and educational campaign, but also a fundraising mechanism where each restaurant will, you know, do a percentage of a cocktail benefiting Giving Kitchen, or a whole night of dinner service, you know, goes to Giving Kitchen. Just as, again, a way to raise awareness and make sure that their employees know about what's going on. But there's so many different mechanisms to share Giving Kitchen, you two being pillars in your community and making sure that everybody that you know knows about Giving Kitchen is one of the strongest mechanisms that we have.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for Giving Kitchen? We've got 2025 coming to a close.
Now.
What's the next big thing for you guys? The next big initiatives?
We actually just hired a little over a year ago our first ever CEO,
okay,
whom you'll meet tonight, Allison Padilla Goodman. She comes from the Anti-Defamation League. Spent 10 years there, and she's been a game changer for the organization. We've also just hired our first ever chief philanthropy officer. So I say a lot of first evers because there's this opportunity that we've been presented with by going national, that means a fundraising and other telling our story changes a little bit of how we get the word out. So I think, you know, for us, we're getting ready to go into the next 3, 5, and 10 year strategic planning. I mentioned a stat earlier of that there's 15.9 million food service workers in the country. And we know that at any given moment, 1 to 2% are in crisis right now. Mm. It's pretty simple math. That means 159,000 food service workers are in need of help right now today. And from a statistical standpoint, for Giving
Kitchen. So
you're
just to reflect on us. So you're saying that maybe 6 of our employees need help today.
Probably.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
That's impactful.
And it is, right? And we want to be able to help all of them. At that 1% to 2%, we want to be able to help everybody. This year, we anticipate helping about 12,500 food service workers. And so I think, again, simple math, we've got a long way to go. There's a lot of work ahead of us to be able to share that story and make sure that Giving Kitchen is that first resource, not just for a food service worker, but for anyone in community to turn to when they know somebody that they love needs help.
I love all of that so much. And we are so grateful for just everything that your team is doing to help service our community, not just here, but just food services all over our country. And we're grateful that there's something out there like that, because we know it's been tough. We've seen, you know, we've had to step in a lot of times over the years. You know, if somebody can't get to and from work, we've helped them buy a car, or we've had people who have crises, we've done fundraisers for them, and we've even co-signed leases for them just to be able to get an apartment because they're just trying to get started. And these are just little tiny things that, you know, we do, but having a resource like that is also something they can keep their pride and not have to ask for help, get help from someone, but just be there as a bedrock for people to lean back on. So we're so grateful for that.
Yeah, it's really awesome what you guys do. It's impressive and really needed. I think the hospitality industry puts so much into their job, and they deserve something.
Totally agree.
Like what you guys have for them.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think business owners like you too, honestly, I mean, being able to have in the back of your pocket something like Giving Kitchen to go above and beyond what you're already providing. I mean, you said signing leases on for an apartment or a down payment on a car. That is unheard of. That's unheard of. But to be able to have a secondary option just to make that last even longer, I think is what's really, really special.
Yep. Can you believe how far you've come and where your story has started and where it's come?
No, and yes. I love the question because it reminds me, and I get asked it a lot, so I get to think fondly about my late husband. But when Giving Kitchen was first forming, I remember we were sitting in my living room with our founding members and literally going around the table to say, like, what is Giving Kitchen and who is it going to serve and how far will it reach?
Yep.
And it got to Ryan, and he said, all I know is that I want it to be for everyone. And so when I think of that and I think of what started inside the, you know, Metro Atlanta.
That's such a hospitality answer.
Totally. Right. And powerful. Yeah. Because look at what we've done now. I mean, since our inception, we've helped 37,000 individuals, not to mention the family members and children who are affected in those homes. We've awarded $16.5 million so far. And I mean, this is still just the beginning. So I think of that moment very fondly, and I'm proud of it. I'm really encouraged.
I love that. And you have Jeff and I both about in tears over here. So we are going to just say our thank yous and we'll get our act together. But really, if you all have not heard of Giving Kitchen, check it out online, and hopefully you can join us for an event sometime in the future too when we do it again. But thank you for joining us.
Oh, my
Jen.
Sincere pleasure. Thank
Thanks,
you
Jen.
Both so
thank
much.
You.
It's great seeing you. That was a lot for me to handle.
I know. I looked over at you. I'm like, oh, geez, I hope he doesn't lose it. We need a tissue for
it. You know, when I talk about hospitality, how it makes me tear up.
It does every single time.
Every time.
Literally every time we're talking about hospitality and caring for people, my husband almost starts to cry. Yeah. And I don't see him cry a lot in life. I think I've seen you cry like 3 or 4 times. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Then there's hospitality talks.
So what key takeaway for you?
Yeah, the fact that we may have six, we have over 300 employees, and she's saying 1 to 2%. So we have 3 to 6 people that are in crisis right now. And I think that we know of, a few things going on, but maybe it's a great outlet, because I think that, yeah, people don't want to talk about it, and they
sometimes
don't want to talk about
just
with
need
us
help, and they,
right. Yeah. And so I think having somewhere else to go is wonderful.
I think you're exactly right. And I think for me, it's the same kind of takeaway too, is that our restaurant group, our teammates, they're very much our family. These are people we spend time with every day. And, you know, sometimes we know what's going on and sometimes we don't know what's going on. And that's happening throughout the food industry. And the number of issues that people in our industry face, they're different than maybe like what a white collar person is experiencing on a day-to-day basis. You know, these people are on their feet all day, and you know, they may come from a more troubled background, or they may live in a situation that's not healthy. And, you know, you just don't know. And we've got a lot of broken people on our team. We've got a lot of incredibly strong people and a lot of resilient people too. But knowing where we can help step in, even by just simply giving them the information, is a huge thing.
For sure. And I need to get on the suicide prevention class.
Training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to just go and rock that out. That's really, really important. And sounds like it's a pretty powerful tool.
It is a powerful tool. And, you know, we have talked about this before, but I have struggled with my mental health in the past. And I know, you know, very well, you've walked along with me on that journey, and you've been nothing but supportive and helpful along the way. But there are things I think that you can learn, and I certainly learned a lot, and anybody can learn about how to help someone, you know, get to a better spot so that they aren't having, you know, those battling, fighting thoughts there that take them under, as opposed to, you know, help them find their way out. So,
for sure.
Anyway, I'm so grateful she could join us.
Me too. And I'm so excited about the dinner tonight. I mean, this is it's a special dinner. I don't know how many communities are able to get their top chefs to come together, work together on different courses as a team. And if you hear these guys talking, where someone's making the filling and dropping it off at the other restaurant, and then the other restaurant's making the pasta, and it just is such a fun collaboration and a great time to have all the best chefs in town together, working together on a great cause. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of teamwork, and we're actually filming tonight too. So we're going to have the team from Suzy Films filming for Fork and Hammer as well. So it's going to be a busy room, an energetic room, and hopefully we'll get to raise a lot of money for Giving Kitchen.
That's going to be awesome.
All right. Well, we'll see you all next time. Please like, comment, share. We would love to hear from you, and we'll talk to you next time.